simple matter. There are a lot of dangerous things that go on when yesterday we learned about the inyan of being mispalel before you eat. And we learned about between the tilas, the inyan to recite mizmar ledavid Hashem roi loy echzar before you wash the tilas yodayim. Some do it in between the tilas yodayim and birchas hamitzi. And we discuss what happens if you forget. Is it called the hefsik? Okay, we discussed yesterday briefly. We discussed animals. If you have pets, there's a halacha that you have to feed your pets before you feed yourself. And is that, we discussed the different opinions, that the raisa, is it the rabbanon, is it a midas chasidus, even it applies to fish, pets, v'chulu v'chulu. We discussed a little bit the laws of sitting. When you make the bracha, should the bracha be said standing, should the bracha be said sitting? Talmidei chacham, when they eat sitting. And everyone should make themselves into a Talmid Chacham for this matter. And there's one thing that I left out, going back to animals, this interesting thing that if you're eating a su'udas mitzvah, some want to make the following suggestion, that if a person is eating a su'udas mitzvah, then you have no obligation to feed your animals before you feed yourself. This halacha that we learn in the pasuk, the pasuk goes on to say, I will give to your animals, live hem techa. I will give grain in the field to your animals. Nasati esev besadcha live hem techa. Then v'yachalta v'savata. Some want to suggest only applies. Who says it's the ksaf sefer, the son of the chasam sefer? He suggests only applies a sudas rishus. But if you're eating a sudas mitzvah, if you're sitting down to your Shabbos suda, or any sudas mitzvah, then it does not apply. He doesn't say that's halach. He's nistapik if that is correct. Most poskim say there really is no such thing. Okay, let's now go to the next topic. The next topic is a little more technical, a little more controversial, a little more complicated, and something which unfortunately many of us are nichshalin. I mean, to a certain degree, I shouldn't say that, but it's problematic. If a person has mizoinos, okay, over here I have in the back, yeah, over here there's cereals over here in the back. Some of them, the brachas mizoinos. Sometimes they have over here in the back, they have here some Danishes, cake. If a person eats a significant amount of mizoinos, go to a kiddush. So this is a real problem. A kiddush, Shabbos morning, where they serve kisu'udas shloimei b'shaita, if a person eats to his satisfaction, and included in what he eats is mizoinos, technically, many times you're obligated to bench. Even though you started off reciting Borei Minei Mizoinos, Shahakoil, maybe you said Borei Pri Agafen, and maybe you have Borei Pri Adama, yeah, you have Potato Kugel. So you say Borei Pri Adama, and you eat, and you eat, and you eat, and they bring out more food. Before you turn around, you say to yourself, oh, I'm done. I don't need to eat lunch. My wife, she prepared a whole suda at home. Well, that's going to be a problem. But I'm done. I've eaten already so much food. There's nothing more. My tank is full. What bracha do you now recite before you leave the Beis HaKnesses? Do you recite Al HaMichya, Al HaGefen, Baru Nefashos? Or maybe you should recite Birchas HaMazon. What are the laws? Okay, so this gets a little bit complicated. So number one, the first thing is a person eats technically four eggs. And what is an egg? An egg is equivalent. I wrote everything down. Let me instead of guessing, let me write. Let me just refer to the notes. Person eats four eggs. There's a sheer. Let me just tell you the numbers. There's a sheer of four eggs, there is a shiur of six eggs, and there is a shiur of 21 eggs. 21 is half of the amount of eggs that one would need for a hafrasha schal. So now it's a little bit more, 43 and 2/5. So if you have 41 and a half, Let's just use the 21. Let's just use the number 21 eggs, half the amount of it. Now, how much is equivalent of an egg? An egg, one egg is approximately 2 ounces. Okay, one egg, halacha l'maisa, we paskin, is 54 grams, which comes out to 1.9 ounces. So let's work with that. Let's assume that an egg is equivalent to 2 ounces. Now, to put things in perspective, on average, the standard disposable whiskey shot, everyone goes to a kiddush, there are whiskey shots on the table, a little plastic cup you use for schnapps, that's exactly 1 ounce. Think of that little cup, 1 ounce, take another one, 2 ounces. Okay, that is two little cups is equivalent to basically one egg. One egg. If you were to have eight of those, eight little schnapps cups, and you would then stuff into them mezoinos, eight schnapps cups, stuff into them cake, anything that has the bracha you make of a mezoinos, okay, berchosei mezoinos, you've just eaten four eggs worth of mezoinos. If you are satisfied, I do not need to eat anything until dinner. Now, when we talk about satisfaction, there are different levels of satisfaction. I'm satisfied for an hour. That's not called satisfied. Satisfied means you're pretty much satisfied for the next 6 hours. I've had my su'udas, my day meal, and I do not need to eat anything until my evening meal. If a person eats the equivalent of 4 eggs of mezoinos, something which is considered to be pasah babekisnin, and let's just assume now for the moment everything that you eat is called pasah babekisnin. Not really everything you eat, but let's assume, make that assumption for the time being now. Certainly cakes, and let's say whatever, cakes, things like that, and you're satisfied, you are obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon.
You're talking about the flour in it? Or
everything combines together. Everything combines together. Chiddush is...
The press down, or does not that's sponge cake?
So you have to press it. Yes. You should press it down. Yeah. So sponge cake, you need to add a little bit more because you have to press down. You have to stuff it in. You have to stuff it into these cups. 4 eggs... of mezoinos, which is the amount of mezoinos you can stuff into eight schnapps cups. Now think about it, you got a Danish. Let's say you go into a store, you buy a Danish. Can you take a Danish and stuff it into 8 schnapps cups? Probably not. Probably you need a little bit more, I would assume, a little bit more. But certainly 2 Danishes. Person has 2 Danishes. You can definitely stuff 2 Danishes into at least 4 schnapps cups. If you eat 2 Danishes for lunch, you're obligated to recite a Birchas HaMazon. And if you know in advance that you're going to be eating the amount of mezoinos, which would be equivalent to 4 eggs, which is 8 ounces, then you should make a hamoitzi. You should wash, and you should recite a hamoitzi on the Danish. That is the halacha. Now, let's say you're not satisfied. Let's say you eat the equivalent, but you know, I'm still hungry. There's still plenty of room in my stomach to have a meal within the next 6 hours. Then you can still make, then you make a bar mezonos and al hamechya. But if you eat 6 beitzim, then you're in a lot of trouble. Even if you're not satisfied, you're putting yourself in a halachic dilemma for which there is no solution. Now, the difference between 4 and 6 is not that much. It's going to be another 4 cups. It's going to be a total of 12 schnapps cups, 12 whiskey shots that are about 1 ounce. So again, if you eat the equivalent of 4 eggs worth of mezoinos, and you are satisfied, which means you do not need to eat for the next 6 hours, then you are obligated to recite a Birchas HaMozon. If you know in advance that this is what you're planning to do, then you should wash and recite on the Mezonos HaMotzi Lechem in Aretz. If you're not satisfied after eating the equivalent of four eggs, then you just make the Al HaMichya. If you eat six eggs worth, then even if you are not satisfied, that is considered such a significant volume of mezonos, there is a halachic debate if you're obligated nevertheless to recite Birchas HaMazon. There is no answer to the question, so the bottom line is, l'chatchila, you should not put yourself in that situation, but if you do put yourself in that situation, you should be meikel, and you should not recite Birchas HaMazon, you should recite Al HaMechia.
Pizza,
right, so how many eggs exactly? You eat two slices of pizza. Is two slices of pizza more than six eggs? It usually is. It's two, depending, and now also when you talk about six eggs, everything combines, all the cheese and all the other things that you're going to add to the main thing that you're eating is the bread, and you have other things that all combines to the sheer of six eggs. So that's why it becomes a very big problem. A person has two slices of pizza. That's a whole thing. How do you have to wash for eating pizza? Pizza be'etzem is pas haba b'kisnen. So most of us were always brought up with the principle that if you eat one slice of pizza, you do not need to wash. If you eat two slices of pizza, you do need to wash. Certainly, no one's going to tell you that you do not need to wash if you eat three slices. Person is sitting down to eat three slices of pizza, there's no posek that you're going to find today, mainstream, that's going to tell you that you don't need to wash. You do need to wash when you eat three slices. If you eat one slice, most of us will not wash. Two slices, so some will not. What is the issue? The issue is exactly this point. Pizza is called pas haba b'kisnen. If a person eats four eggs worth of pas haba b'kisnen and is satisfied, and you can include in it everything gets included, all of the cheese and the other things that you're eating are included, then you're really satisfied. Eating two slices of pizza for most people is considered a meal. That's something that is satisfying. You have passed the threshold of four eggs. Eating two slices of pizza with everything that's there, you do pass the threshold of eating four eggs, and you're usually satisfied. Therefore, that requires you to recite HaMoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. And if you know in advance you're going to come to that result, and l'chatchila you should recite a HaMoitzi when you eat to begin with, not wait till the end to recite HaMoitzi. If you sit down, I only want to eat one slice. Okay? So I make a mezonos. And now I decide, you know what? I now want a second slice. Now, if you want a second slice, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to wash right now and then make a hamaitzi. Because now when you're planning to now that you know that you're planning to go over the threshold, it demands of you to wash immediately and to make a bracha of hamaitzi before you begin to eat the second slice. If you just somehow found yourself, look at that, I ate two slices and I'm satisfied. No bracha achorina. No, you do not make a bracha achorina.
So
you rely upon. Yes, of course. Even though, right. You did not know. You plan to eat only one slice. You're on a diet. Yeah. I'm only going to eat one slice. Usually you make a mezonos, plan to make an ala mechia. And then you realize, you know what, I'm hungry. I want to eat a second slice. So now you have an obligation to wash. According to most places, you'll have places that tell you don't. They'll tell you because you're not satisfied. Some people will tell you, by me, I'm not satisfied until at least they get to four slices. By me, it doesn't happen. I got a big stomach. Okay, you'll have different opinions. Okay, now by the way, Rav Herschel Schechter, my cousin, he disagrees with, he's a Das Yachter. No one follows what he says in this regard, not that I know of, unless you're a real chassid of his. He says, I think he learns that it's not called pas haba b'kisnen. He learns pizza's pas mamish, and he holds you have to make a hamoitzi, even one slice of pizza. It's a famous psach from Rav Herschel Schechter. He holds even one slice of pizza demands you make a birchas hamoitzi, you wash, and you say hamoitzi, it's bread. If I'm not mistaken, it was even one slice. Most paiskim say not so. Pizza is not called pas. Pizza does not have the tsura de nahama. It's called pas haba b'kisnin. It's like pretzels, and therefore you can make them zoinos. The only issue is, It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you eat 4 eggs of mezonos and you are satisfied, then you have to recite the Birchas HaMazon and recite HaMoitzi. Eating 2 slices of pizza, you will definitely pass the threshold of 4 eggs, and you may even pass the threshold of 6 eggs, a big slice. 3 slices, you certainly pass the threshold of 6 eggs. Are you satisfied? If you're satisfied, there's nothing to discuss. You have to recite the Hamotzi. If you're not satisfied, I plan on eating more within the next 6 hours. Then if you pass 6 eggs, you are entered into a dilemma, which is there is no answer what to do in the case of Pasa Babakistan, that you're not satisfied more than 6 eggs. You should never put yourself in that situation. But if you do, then you can recite an Al Hamichya, because Safik Bracha is Lahakel. Now here's something which is very funny. I don't know if it's funny. I don't know how.
If there is anything on top of the pizza.
It is included.
Mitzaref?
Yes, it is Mitzaref. Yes, it is clear. He writes it clear to the Balatan. You know, this is all the rules? The Balatanya. The Balatanya is the one who presents all of the rules. Everything he's going over from the Balatanya presents all the rules with clarity. Like a little variations over here, but yes, everything is mitzvah. For the 6 eggs, it's mitzvah. It's the mitzvah. He's satisfied. Now here is the thing. I don't think this is so relevant, but let's say a person has a very, very big appetite, a massively large appetite, and he eats 21 eggs worth of food. And he's not satisfied. He's still not satisfied.
Because if he gets sick, does that count?
Then some people are very big. They are very low. They are very.
If someone sits down to eat a pizza,
yeah,
and he's allergic to pizza.
It's allergic, though, then it's a mazik. You don't make a bracha.
You shouldn't even make a bracha.
You don't make a bracha. You're a mazik. It's a mazik.
So if you sit down to. Let's say 22.
Well, there are some very large people out there in this world.
No, you know, you go down to a counter.
They tell you to. They tell you to do an experiment. They tell the person who is try doing this experiment. You'll be nauseated. Whatever you eat during the day, wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Whatever you have to, it's bal tashchis. Maybe it's not bal tashchis to learn a lesson. Whatever you put in your mouth, try this one day. Whatever you put in your mouth, take exactly what you have consumed and put aside on the table exactly what you come breakfast, whatever. You have 3 cups of coffee, whatever, so put it on the table. I drank this. You had a sandwich, take another sandwich, put it on the table. Lunch, dinner. When the day is over, look at the table and look at what you ate today. Whatever you put in your mouth, put on the table a replica of what you've eaten. And when the day is over, look at what you've eaten. You will be in shock. You will not even believe you've consumed all that food. You will be in utter shock. Really? I ate all of this food, everything on this table, went in my stomach today. There's not enough space in my stomach for all of this food. Okay, you don't believe it until you try it. You would not believe how much food a person, you don't even realize how often you go to the refrigerator. How often you put things in your mouth. And there are some people who are very large and they have a very good digestive system and they consume a lot. If a person needs the equivalent of 21 eggs, half of the shi'ur of challah, of hafroshas challah. Hafroshas challah is 43 2/5 of an egg. If you eat half of that amount, I don't know where it comes from, this calculation of half amount of that, even if you're starving, you're still starving, you must recite Birchas HaMazon. So basically there are 3 shiurim. There is 4 eggs, 6 eggs, and 21 eggs. 4 eggs, the rule is mezonos. If you eat mezonos and you mitzaref everything in that calculation, if you are satisfied, you must recite Birchas HaMazon. That means the average person on Shabbos Kiddush, you go to a Shabbos Kiddush, and they have cholent, and there's kishka, and there is cake, and there's kugel. So and if you're satisfied, then you should recite Birchas HaMazon. There's nothing to talk about it. If you've eaten the equivalent of more than 4 eggs, and certainly 6 eggs, and it included mezonos, you're mechuyif to bench. And if you know that you're going to eat, you're having a big kiddush, Like, well, this past week, I wasn't there because I went to visit Meir this past Shabbos.
It was a big kiddush.
I didn't eat anything that kiddush, but the place where I came from, where I davened Shabbos Nachamu, I don't know, they never did this before. Never had this before. Meshugas. The guys there in the guy. There's no simcha. When there's no simcha, there's no. They have a kiddush, a little kiddush, just like, you know, beer bones, just for camaraderie. Everyone should get together. It's nice, very nice. Get together, someone speaks. When there's no one making a simcha, so they just have beer bones. Beer bones kiddush with potato kugel. Always a potato kugel. And the boys, they make it themselves. And you have, I don't know, some crackers and potato kugel. Everyone sits together, have a Dvar Torah. It's very nice, it's very choshev. With a kid, it's like a simcha. Oh, so you have challenge. Oh, bigger simcha, this fish. Someone really wants to burn some money, so they'll go and they'll go. Now in Meshugas, meat platters. You know, today it's a Meshugas. They have all these Meshugas. They never had this before years ago. Meat platters. Who ever heard of meat platters? Fish platters, meat platters.
Liver platters.
Never saw these things in my whole life. I knew Chadoshim Labakarim. So this pair Shabbos Nachmu, 90% of the people went away, and there were a few people left. And they said, you know what? We're going to have this Shabbos, we're going to have a kiddush like none other. And a couple of guys got together and they gave money to make a really, really fancy kiddush. And they were warning everyone, if you don't come, we're going to kill you. And I didn't come. But they told me the menu. And I can tell you for sure, whatever the menu, this past Shabbos, what I missed out on, you would have to, no question about it, if you would be toying Mikol, you would have to recite Birchas HaMazon. 4 eggs worth of food, which includes Mizoinis. Now, the question that this bothers me, it doesn't really clarify here in words. It says here that everything is Mitzdorif. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if I have a little teeny cracker, I make a burb named Mizoinus and a little tiny cracker, a bare minimum to make a Mizoinus, and then I stuff myself with meat platters and herring and soup and chicken and this and that and cholent. I have to wash? I have to bench? It's not Mistaver. It seems it means you have to have a significant amount. How many eggs?
If you have a little piece of challah the size of a...
Well, challah is pas. That's a different set of rules. When you have tsur dinahama, bread, if you have what's called bread, it has to look like bread. You do not make a mezonos on bread. There's nothing to do. A slice of bread.
You need a bracha achrona, no matter what.
A slice of bread, you have to make a hamotzi. Once you make a hamotzi, you make one. You have to make brachas hamotzi, and it covers everything.
So what does koveya suda mean?
Koveya suda, I don't know. I don't know. I'm assuming that when it says this halacha, that you mitzarif everything together, it means there is a significant amount of mezonos. What exactly is the shear? I don't know. Let's assume it means, I think you have a right to assume it means the majority. If you have two beitzim of mezonos is not, that would have to mean enough to fill up 4 1-ounce cups. A little bit less, actually. 4 1-ounce cups. That's not all that unreasonable. If you have a piece of cake, so that's already at least 2 schnapps cups, okay, I would assume. And then you have some other food which has mezonos pasta b'kisten in it. I'm not cuisine, that might think you cuisine. I don't think, if you're having a big smorgasbord, I don't think it's so impossible to have a significant amount of mezonos. That's probably the majority of 4 eggs. And then you stuff yourself with all this other stuff. Me'ikir hadin, you have to recite. You have to recite Birchas HaMazon. Okay, that's the way it goes. Do people do this? Doesn't seem like they do it.
Let me ask you, make it tougher. You have dips.
Yeah.
So you can't eat dips, just stick your finger in. You take a cracker.
Right, so that's for sure. So that's the
icker. The
what are you talking about?
It's a tuffle for the
cracker. No. A dip is never a tuffle to the cracker. I'm sorry. If you have a
piece
cracker.
Of you want to take a piece of herring? And you put it on the cracker, so you can eat the herring.
Ask people what their kavana is. Most people tell, I want to have the cracker, and I want to have the herring.
No, you want to want to have the herring and you can't eat the herring.
When the Gemara talks about you have bread, you have a piece of fish with bread, and you don't make a bracha on the bread. That's where the fish is so strong, so potent. So powerful, you burn your tongue, you couldn't eat it without the bread. Today, you don't see that anymore. It's hard to believe that today when people go to a kiddush and they're having crackers with herring, they couldn't care less about the cracker. They only want the herring. If they only want the herring, believe me, they'll only have the herring. They're not going to have the cracker. I see this every Shabbos. There's herring. They put out different types of herring. And there are crackers. Anyone who's taking a cracker is because they also want the cracker. It's not like the Gemara talks about you have something so strong and so potent you burn your tongue, so you take the fish together with a piece of bread in order to digest it. If you only want the herring today, you don't take the crack. You just take the herring and you're very happy with the herring itself. The people who are taking the herring with the cracker is because they enjoy the combination. No, am I saying something crazy? Anyone disagree here? You disagree? So then talking about that, you don't have to make a bracha. If you're telling me that the only reason why you're having the cracker is because then you don't make a bracha on the hair, on the cracker. You're right. So,
and then you eat...
No, then you're not kaveya. Then you only had shahakol ha'adama, and then you never made a bracha on the mezonos, and you don't make an alam mechia. The herring was a total... was a tafel.
So I'm going to be melamed zchus that these people come to the shmorg and they stuff themselves like this.
Yeah.
If they eat... They have mezonos,
kishka.
Kishka's
mezonos.
Is to be a
What is there? You're saying something is true. You're asking a very good question. Because the truth is, you think of a kiddush. Really, what they're at the kiddush is called pas habab kisnin. Lakshan kugel is not pas habab kisnin. You can eat as much lakshan kugel as you want. You can never make a hamotzila and make a birchas hamazon. A donut is fried. In order for something to be called pas habab kisnin, it has to have certain rules. Something that is fried. Bread product is not baked at all. Cakes are baked. So a cake does not have the tsur dinahama. It doesn't look like bread. Pretzels don't look like bread. Flatbreads don't look like bread. Apple pie does not look like bread. But it's baked. It's baked. All of these things are baked in an oven. Oh, it's baked in an oven. So you don't make a birchas, you don't make a hamoitzi, but if you eat a lot of it, Then you make a hamoitz and you make a birchas hamazon. But donuts that are not baked,
they're fried,
and lakshan kugel, and Yerushalmi kugel, even though the ingredients are mezoinus, and you make a mezoinus, being that they're not baked, that's not called pas habab kisnin. So you're suggesting, maybe you're right, maybe that's the answer why we're not mocked, but you're suggesting you go to a kiddush. What do you really have at a kiddush that qualifies for you to recite the Birchas Hamazon? Most of the things that a standard Shabbos kiddush in today's society are not pas habab kisnin. They have cakes, that's right, but people—that's not what people eat. They don't stuff themselves with the cakes. They stuff themselves with the cholent and the herring and I don't know all these pastrami.
What about kishka? Is kishka?
So kishka? No, l'charina is kishka baked? I don't know. Is kishka baked? I don't think so. I don't know. You have to ask him how kishka is baked. How much kishka do you have anyway? How? What? Plenty? So maybe that's the answer. That unless you want to say that if you make one, or you want to be very liberal and say that if you make a bori minei mezoinis, and you eat a small amount, you have to have enough mezoinis to make an al hamichya.
You mix it in the
You have to have three in order to make. You have to have one kezias.
So
you have to buy a kiddush because it has been kiddush mark and sunnis.
So you have to have al hamichya is one kezias. Al hamichya. If you don't have enough, then you can't.
A kezias is basically a half.
Can't eat nothing.
Oh, we'll go back to that one second. Let's just clarify one thing. A kezias in a beitza is basically two kezasim. An egg, in our calculations, the way we live today, one egg is 1.9 ounces. A kezias is 1 ounce. I'm talking about the displacement, a fluid. How much food you can stuff take your food and you stuff it, you press it into a 1 ounce cup, 1 ounce whiskey shot. So an egg is double a kezayis. In order to have kiddush b'mokayim seuda, you need to have one kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, which is 1 ounce. A beitza is double that. You need 4 beitzim, which means 8 whiskey shots. So the poskim said that everything is mitzorif, which seems to mean simply that if you eat one kezayis of mezoinos, one whiskey shot of mezoinos, and then you have another 7 whiskey shots of other foods, that's very easy to do. Then, if you're going to take that halacha literally, that if you just make a mezoinos on one kezayis, and then you have another 7 kezayim of other things that are not mezoinos, you recite a birchas hamazoin, then we're in a lot of trouble. Because everyone goes to a kiddush, eat plenty of food, and they're really satisfied, and there's really no need to go home and eat another meal, even though they do it, and certainly when they eat 6 eggs. So I'm suggesting, I don't know what's going on, we have to melamed tzchus on klali, we have to reason, is that this halacha, when you say that everything is mitztaref, it doesn't mean when it's a minority. It has to at least be the majority, or a very significant amount of your 4 eggs is mezoinos. If the amount of your 4 eggs is just a fraction, is the bare minimum. I took a piece of cake. I ate one piece of sponge cake is approximately 1 kezayis. That's what Rabbi Botner says. You go to a kiddush, you have a piece of average size sponge cake, they put on the platter. Take one piece of sponge cake and you compress it into a ball. You take it and you squeeze this. Don't do this in public. You take that one piece of sponge cake and you squeeze it, it's gonna fit perfectly into a 1 ounce whiskey shot. So eating one piece of sponge cake, even though there's sugar, all the poskim say, even though there's even though there's a lot of sugar and there's eggs, it doesn't matter. If you make a bari b'nei mezoinos on this piece of sponge cake, and this piece of sponge cake, if you squash it, you'll fit it nice and snug into a 1 ounce whiskey shot, you've made, that's kiddush b'mokayim seuda, you can make an al hamichya, you have kiddush b'mokayim seuda, and you're done. Now, by the way, how much mezoinos was there really in that one piece of sponge cake? Very little, because probably a good section, much of that was eggs, and was sugar, and was other ingredients that you don't want to know about, preservatives, who knows what they put in there. It's enough! But to say that we're going to take that one piece of sponge cake, and that's all you ate for your mezoinos, and now use that as our starting point for the next 7 ounces of cholent, kishka, herring, and salami, and potato kugel, and lakshan kugel, and yushalmi kugel, and fruit. And I don't even know what they serve by these kiddushim. Whenever they got over there, you're going to say that all of those things are not mezoinos. At least they're not mezoinos called pasaba bekisnin. To say now you have passed the threshold of 4 eggs or 6 eggs, and you're satisfied, and now you should recite a birchas hamozoin because you made a mezoinos, maybe that's the reason why we're very lenient today. Because when it says in Chazal that you have to eat pas haba b'kisnin of dalid beitzim and be satisfied to recite birchas hamozoin, the assumption is you have to eat a significant amount of pas haba b'kisnin. Doesn't mean you have to be 100%, you can combine other things, but at least it has to be a significant amount. It's not, maybe by a kiddush we eat today, it's not considered to be a significant amount. Okay, I vaguely remember seeing somewhere is that the reason why we do not actually bench by a kiddush is because many people, even if they end up eating a lot or they plan to eat a lot, being that they plan to go home and have another seuda, which is very unhealthy, of course, to go home and have another full meal, automatically in their mind, this is not called a keviyas seuda. So when Chazal gave us these numbers, 4 eggs, 6 eggs, that's discussing a case where this is your meal. That's it. If you are in a frame of mind, I'm at a kiddush, and I'm going to eat all this food, and I don't care about my diet, I don't care about my health, and after I'm finished eating all this food, I'm going to go home and sit down and wash and eat more food. So your frame of mind overrides the halacha. I'm not, this is not my suda. I have to be satisfied. Even though technically I'm satisfied, but I'm not satisfied. The fact is, I'm going to go home and eat more. I'm making a statement that I'm not satisfied. So that would deflect the need to make a birchas hamazon. But technically speaking, the person eats a significant amount of azonos, and you pass and you eat other foods, and then you pass four eggs, and you are satisfied for the next 6 hours, you would be required to recite birchas hamazon like we learn when it comes to pizza. If you're planning, this is my lunch, I'm going into a restaurant, I'm going to a pizza store, this is my lunch, I'm not planning to eat until the evening, until dinner. I'm going to have here 2 slices of pizza and some french fries and a falafel, okay, without the bread. Excuse me, sir, you've eaten a very significant amount of pasa babi kisnin, and you've had other foods. You've certainly passed the threshold of 6 eggs, and the vast majority of what you've eaten is mizonos, which is pasa babi kisnin, and you're not going to eat until the evening. What's there to talk about? Who are you fooling? There's no way around it. You have to bench and you have to recite birchas hamazon. There's no other way out of it. There's nothing to talk about.
I have another question.
Yeah.
There is a portion that we're getting downstairs. We're getting lunch. And there is a slice of bread. On that same tray, are we supposed to wash? Or just, if I don't want to eat the bread, I don't eat and I don't wash. But it's a bizayon for the bread.
I don't think so. You're a very holy person. You're a very holy person that you have that sensitivity. Al pi halacha, I don't believe you have any obligation. Just because in front of you there is a piece of bread, according to halacha, you have no obligation whatsoever to wash and eat the bread. Now, you, Baruch Hashem, were in the presence of holiness. You have that sensitivity. There's bread on the table. It's a source of blessing. It gives you an opportunity. Is it an insult to the bread? When you make Kiddush Friday night, you cover the bread, not to insult the bread. This is a sensitivity. I can't tell you what to do. Halacha, no. Halacha, definitely not. Halacha, never. You never heard such a thing. Halacha, if I do not want to eat, I'm not planning on eating the bread, then you do not have, then you don't wash. You're not allowed to wash. I'm not going to eat the bread. I'm going to eat the other items on the tray. I make individual blessings on the other items. There is no halacha whatsoever. No halacha whatsoever to eat the bread. I know, there was a certain yeshiva, there was a rabbi in the yeshiva. He was a very good rabbi. And like, you know, the worst thing you can ever do to a student is to call up their parents and tell their parents that your son has misbehaved. Okay, that's always a horror for a parent to get a phone call from the principal, from the rebbe, that your son. So this rebbe, he never really called the parents to tell them that they did anything wrong, that they're climbing on the ceilings, or that they beat up someone, or they murdered someone. He didn't really, you know, let's say they tied up the teacher, the English teacher, they tied him up and tortured him. He didn't call up the parents to tell. That's expected. It's expected that children make a lot of trouble. But you know what he would do? At lunch, there was a boy. I couldn't believe this. The boy, they had sandwiches, and the boy went and he took out only the inside of the bread, the inside, and he left the crust. He pulled off the crust of the sandwich, and he left it on the tray, and he only ate the bread. So the Rebbe, who never called up the parents when he tortured and tied up the English teacher and hung him from the ceiling, but the Rebbe went crazy. He calls up the parents and says, you know, your son, you know what he did? He didn't eat the crust. Baltashris. Baltashris. Gesundheit. How could he be mevaze? The bread, the crust. This Rebbe, obviously, he grew up in a different time, a different sensitivity.
Only the crust left.
Only the crust left.
Everyone eats the inside.
Everyone eats the inside? What do you mean?
The kids like the sore part.
They like the sore part. Okay, so the Rebbe, he could not take. This is something which was so disturbing, he called up the parents. But for things that in our eyes are a lot more disturbing, that he didn't call the parents. So you're saying something very, very interesting, very, very, very interesting about sensitivity. Okay, so this is the basic rules and the basics. Now let's go to the next topic. And the next topic is, what about how quickly do you have to eat? I want to talk about Baruch, he mentioned, I want to mention in passing. Baruch mentioned that when you go to a Kiddush, you have to have Kiddush b'makom seuda. If someone makes Kiddush and you want to be yotzei the Kiddush, you have to eat mizoinos, the shiur of a kezayis, to be yotzei Kiddush b'makom seuda. That is the way that we follow, absolutely. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein only. This is a Kiddush that you're only going to find by Rav Moshe Feinstein. His longest teshuva in Igros Moshe, there are three teshuvas in Igros Moshe that discuss exactly this topic, and it is Rav Moshe's longest teshuva in all of the Igros Moshe is about, can you make Kiddush, or listen to Kiddush, and drink a cup of coffee? I want to hear Kiddush to drink a cup of coffee and not eat anything else. No mezoinos, nothing. So Rav Moshe, I think most of us are under the assumption, no, if you go to a Kiddush and they make Kiddush and you want to now take a l'chaim, you want to take a cup of juice, a cup of soda, you want to take a cup of water, you want to drink something, but I don't want to eat anything here, I don't want to eat any mezoinos. So I was always under the assumption, you're not allowed to. You're not going to be yotzei the Kiddush. The Kiddush is not going to work for you to allow you to drink a cup of juice unless you are koveya suuda. How are you a koveya Kiddush b'mokoyim suuda? You have to eat mizoinos, the shiur of a kezayis, which is 1 ounce, within 4 minutes. Within 4 minutes. But you need the Kiddush. You need the Kiddush to allow you to drink juice. So therefore, and the Kiddush is only called the Kiddush if it's a Kiddush b'makom seuda. So many people are under this assumption that, and indeed, that's the way most people follow. They feel that this to be halachically correct. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's not true. He writes there are two dinim. There is Kiddush needs a su'uda, and a su'uda needs Kiddush. I didn't say that right. I take that back. That's another thing. I'm getting confused. But Moshe says it's not so. If you want to drink a cup of water, a cup of juice, a cup of coffee, you need to make Kiddush. Someone in the audience can make the Kiddush. And with that Kiddush, you yotzei Kiddush, and now you can it's a matir. The Kiddush is a matir, you can drink a glass of water. If you want to be yoytzei with that Kiddush, you have to have a su'uda. But I don't want to be yoytzei with that Kiddush. I am going to go home and I'm going to make Kiddush again because I have family at home. I'm going to anyway make Kiddush for my wife and my children. Right now, I don't want to spoil my appetite. Right now, all I want, I came here to wish the person a mazel tov. I've come to shul. They're making Kiddush. I'm very thirsty. I would be very happy to take a glass of water, a glass of juice, to take a cup of soda. I really would want to do that. Do I want to eat any mezoinos? No. I don't want to spoil my appetite. Rav Moshe says, lichatchila. You're allowed to listen to the Kiddush just for the purpose of being toyeim food items that are not considered a su'uda. You're not yoytzei Kiddush b'mokom su'uda. You're not yoytzei. You're going to have to make Kiddush again later in the day and eat a su'uda to be yoytzei the Kiddush b'mokom su'uda. But hearing the Kiddush is a matir to allow you to eat. After you finish davening, you're not allowed to eat anything. You're not allowed to even take a sip of water until you hear Kiddush. So the Kiddush is a matir for you to be toyein. That's number one. Do you also want to make to be yoytzei with the Kiddush? Well, if you want to be yoytze with the kiddush, the second madrega, that it shouldn't just be a matir, but it should be a kiddush b'makom seuda. Oh, you have to now have a kezayis of mezoinos, or be mitzarif. If you have to, whatever you have to have, make a barmine mezoinos and then eat other things, that should be mitzarif to a kezayis. You have to have a some type of suda.
Rav Moshe. You have to filter fish and herring.
Yeah, so the thing you can be mitzarif. You have to at least make a. You have to have a, what's called a suuda. So the Mishnah Berurah goes for all the madregos. The ikar suuda is to have is bread. The next best thing is mezonos. Yayin. Wine, a revius of yayin. There's all the different. B'shas hatchak b'diavad. He says even meaning even peros. B'shas hatchak can be considered. But there are certain things that cannot be considered. Certain things cannot be considered a su'uda. Like mashke. Rav Moshe says even though they cannot be considered a su'uda, you're not going to be yoytze kiddush v'mokayim su'uda. You're not going to make kiddush again later on. At least it's a matir. It permits you to be toyein, to drink something or to eat a shahakol at that moment in time. Now it seems the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. It seems, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, I once wrote this up. It seems the Mishnah Berurah disagrees, and the Olam is noyik to follow the Mishnah Berurah, and the Olam seems to hold that the halacha that if a person goes to a kiddush and you want to take a drink of soda and you don't want to eat, you're not allowed to. If you're not planning to be yoytze kiddush b'makom suda here in this location, then the kiddush is not going to be matir. It's not going to permit you to take a drink of soda. You want to drink a soda? You have to make a borei minei mezoinos and eat a small amount of cake, even a small amount, even less than a kezayis, and eat some other foods in order to be mitzarif to the shir of a kezayis. You have to eat a kezayis. And you have to start off that kezayis by making a birchas mezoinos. You have to eat something to some degree, a little bit of mezoinos with other food of a kezayis to make it a kiddush b'makom suda. If you're not going to do that,
that does not work for me.
And if you're not going to do that, you're not what you can't eat anything.
I'm not allowed to eat any.
But you can have other things. The Mishnah Berurah is you can have yayin. You can be yoytze kiddush b'makom suda by drinking yayin. A revius of yayin, 3 ounces, a lot of wine, 3 ounces, not a lot, not so much, 3 ounces.
So that means I can't just listen to kiddush.
Well, so you follow Rav Moshe. Now, this halacha, the Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree.
No, you're talking only about
the Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree. Now Rav Moshe has 3 teshuvos in the Igros Moshe discussing this, and he says that it's mutl l'chatchila. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, who wrote for art school most of their halachic svarim, He writes about this, and he writes there that he asked Rav Moshe point blank. Rav Moshe said to him, you can do this lichatchila. It says this in the article, one of his svarim on Hilcha Shabbos, because he writes this, that it's mutter lichatchila. He asked Rav Moshe, he brings down all the tshuvas, and he asked Rav Moshe, can you do this? Rav Moshe says it's mutter lichatchila, to listen to Kiddush and drink water, coffee, soda, whatever you want to do, and not be yoytze the kiddush.
And you should filter fish and herring too.
Anything. Lechatchila. The Mishnah Berurah seems to disagree. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Minhag HaOlam seems to follow the Mishnah Berurah. They're not so hot about this Igros Moshe.
That's because they all are going for the cake and the. And all the other.
I wrote a card. They have it over here. I once spent a lot of time on this. I wrote a card, and I wrote this in the card that you can do this lichatchila, and I showed this to some rabbanim, and most of the comments I got on all the halachas was about this, and I got two interesting comments. One comment was, take it out, remove this leniency. That I just mentioned, even though Rav Moshe says lichatchila, even though it's in the art scroll, the Olam is not noig to do this. Take it out. And so the end was, I didn't take it out. In unusual circumstances. In other words, if you need to do it, you can do it. What more do you want, Rav Moshe? We wrote in the footnote, see the Mishnah Berurah that disagrees. But we
you
all,
know what I say?
Yeah.
You know what I say, Rabbi Levin? I say, let them eat cake.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. Now, I got another very interesting comment from a Rav. And he says to me, he told me, you know this that you wrote over here in the car, this halacha, that Rav Moshe says that you could do lechatchila, you can listen to Kiddush. He says it's absolutely true. He says to me right away, this is the longest teshuva in the Igros Moshe. He knew the whole story inside out. He says to me, I know, it's Rav Moshe, lechatchila, you know the whole story. He says to me, I'll tell you something very funny. He says to me, I was speaking to Rav David Feinstein, I think it's right, he says Rav David, Zechat Zach Levracha, and Rav David Feinstein told him that there are teshuvas in the Igros Moshe that were not written for the Hamoin Am. So he says it. He said to me, there were things that the Rav Moshe saw the Olam did. Everyone didn't ask questions. They just did whatever they wanted to do. And Rav Moshe wrote some teshuvos to show that even though really it seems to be wrong, it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's mutter. You can be miyashev. It's really correct. The oilman does it. But Rav Moshe really held lechatchila you should not do it. And what Rav David Feinstein told me that he said, well, for example, making kiddush, listening to kiddush or making kiddush and taking the drink, and not being yoytzei kiddush b'makom suda. He said that in NTJ. They did this all the time. People did this. They didn't ask Rav Moshe. People went, they made kiddush, and they took a drink, a l'chaim. Davening was over. They made kiddush, and everyone took a l'chaim. They took some schnapps. They took this. They took a drink. They took some coffee. And they didn't eat any mezonos. They didn't have mezonos. Zero. No mezonos. Some herring, a l'chaim. There's no cake. Only putting out Shabbos morning after davening is over is herring and whiskey, and maybe some soda. Where's the kiddush? The makom suda? What's going on over here? And they did this all the time.
Well, the person making kiddush, doesn't he have to?
No, he also doesn't have to.
So no one's making kiddush.
That's exactly what Rav Moshe says. You could make kiddush and have absolutely no su'udah, zero. No one has a su'udah. The kiddush is a matir. There are tzvei dinim in kiddush.
But you're not
going to the kiddush. That's right, so go home and make kiddush again. That's right. The person who made kiddush is not
you. Without your kiddush, kiddush is a matir.
That's exactly what Rav Moshe says. You do not need the su'udah to be mad to their two dinim in the kiddush.
So
when davening is over.
What makes the kiddush?
What? Yayin. On Revius of Yayin, he's supposed to drink.
So someone has to drink Revius Yayin. So
He's supposed to drink. Drink the Revius Yayin is not lechatchila called a su'udah. You have to get a double Revius.
A second Revius.
Okay, so you're not even yoytzei lechatchila. B'diyeved, some will say that if you drink even one revius, that's the Mishnah Berurah says. B'diyeved,
so
maybe you can say.
Let
me make it worse. Let's say the person who makes the kiddush doesn't drink a revius. That's a very bad thing to do. He just a mashu. B'diyeved, if you go to a kiddush.
Let's say he just has a mashu.
That's a very bad thing to do. The person, when you make kiddush, you are, I take that back, you're supposed to drink a maloy lugma. 1.6 ounces. A revius is 3 ounces. 3 ounces. Do we pass from three? About one is three. We'll make it round. 3 ounces. Well, Yashiv says that we follow, after everything is said and done, there are a million opinions. 3.4, 3. This, 3.
Yeah,
let's.
Did they say 3.3?
Those are chumers. Okay, but let's make it very simple. 3 ounces, the amount of yayin you need to make kiddush. How much should you drink lechatchila? 1.6.
Okay.
If no one drinks anything at all, then there's a bracha levatola that's not called kiddush. If a person drinks even a, if you can't drink the 1.6, not so much 1.6, it should be distributed together. So then, the olam together should drink from the yayin shel kiddush 1.6. B'diyeved, if someone just this time a mashahu, a teeny mashu of the kiddush, Yotza, you yotza the kiddush. So again, you have to have start off with 3 ounces of yayin or grape juice. Lechatchila, you have to drink 1.6. If you can't drink 1.6 yourself, you can distribute the 1.6 among everyone together. Okay. If you can't even do that, as long as somebody drinks at least a mashahu, a teeny amount, you are yoytze the kiddush. If nobody drinks anything at all, you're not yoytze. Someone makes kiddush, he puts it down, he doesn't do bracha levatola. If he takes at least a mashahu, you're yoytze. Is the yoytze a su'uda?
No,
definitely not. Definitely not. If you don't make kiddush, are you allowed to drink water? No, not even water. Before you daven, you can drink water. After you daven, you can't even drink water. You can't drink water, nothing. If you make kiddush, can you now drink water? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says yes. Even though the kiddush that you're making, you will not be yoytze with a su'uda. It will not be accompanied by a su'uda. Okay, so very good. You would not yoytze kiddush. Because in order to be yoytze the mitzvah, the rabbanan of making kiddush, the kiddush needs a su'uda. So when you're going to go home later on, you're going to have to make kiddush again to the yoytze the kiddush. But the kiddush, even the kiddush that you're not yoytze because there is no su'uda, the kiddush has value in that it permits you to eat and to drink. This is a chiddush of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that you can do this afilu lichatchila. The Olam doesn't like this. The Olam doesn't like that. You say this to them, they get very, very disturbed. I showed this to a Rav. He said to me, you know, I know Rav Moshe says this. We don't follow this. This is not acceptable, this chiddush. It's true. Rav Moshe says, and then the art scroll, what would you want better than the art scroll? This is the Rabban shall call Yisrael. Rav Simcha Budim Kohn, he writes this in the Hebrew footnotes. He asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe said to him, you can do this, the word, lechat chila.
Simcha Budim Kohn,
in the art scroll. In the, what's it called? The Shabbos. We have like a whole series of the Shabbos home, the Shabbos, the radiance of Shabbos, this Shabbos, that Shabbos, the Farish. He is Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe has 3 teshuvos where he says that it's mutter. So that's why I wrote that on the, I wrote that in the write-up. The rabbi told me, no, we don't do this, take it out. I showed this to another rabbi, he says to me, you know, Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, told me, said to me, my own ears, I'm telling you, Eide Shmir, he said to me, that Rav Moshe wrote many teshuvos in Igros Moshe, not that it should be the practice of Klal Yisrael. It was a yishuv, what people were doing. And for example, case in point, this halacha, making kiddush with the intent of not having a su'uda just for the purpose of being able to be matir achila. Because in MTJ, they did that. People didn't ask him. They just did it on their own. They went and they made kiddush and they didn't put out any cake. A small little kiddush. They didn't have a kiddush. They just took out of the cabinet. They took out some herring from last week's shalashuddas, and they took out some schnapps, and they passed it around, and they made kiddush on some wine or whatever they make kiddush on. There's no suda here. Where's the suda? You know, no one's going to tell you that you yoytze kiddush when you're going to go home. You can't just sit down and eat. You have to make kiddush again. So that the kiddush is a kiddush, the mokam suda, but the kiddush is matir achila, is matir the achila. So this is something that Rav Moshe says. He says the lechatchila. No, the olam, the Mishnah Brura appears to disagree with this. The Mishnah Brura appears to say that yimamish, it's not a matir. The kiddush is not going to allow you to drink a cup of water unless that kiddush will be accompanied by a su'uda. So the Mishnah Brura, it's not absolute in the Mishnah Brura, but that's the strach of the Mishnah Brura. I have it all written about inside the Mishnah Brura. That's what he appears to say. The minhag ha'olam is to follow the Mishnah Brura, not to rely upon this. to make Kiddush and then just plan on having a drink and going to the next and going somewhere else. But Rav Moshe says it's a lechatchila. And on the other hand, Rav David Feinstein said that Rav Moshe never meant to be a lechatchila. There's a machlekes really between Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen and Rav David Feinstein. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen says that Rav Moshe said there is a lechatchila. And this rabbi, he said to me that Rav David Feinstein told him that Rav Moshe did not say lechatchila, it's not a lechatchila, it's not something you should do lechatchila. Rav Moshe only meant for those people who do this out of ignorance, it's okay. But once you know the halach and you know all of the inyanim, you should be more sensitive and not do it lechatchila. It would appear to be a disagreement between Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen and Rav David Feinstein, when Rav Moshe wrote these three teshuvos, if he meant it to be mamish lechatchila, or that when push comes to shove, when you're really thirsty and you really need a drink and you really need something, you don't want to eat the food that's present, then you can rely upon it. That is, you see, and when we wrote this card to the editors, Rabbanim, and they said just play it safe, and to put you can have it in the card, you can write over this whole thing where Moshe says, play it safe, and just write in the category of in unusual circumstances, you can make Kiddush and have a drink, and do not have a su'uda at all. You know what else was it? You know what other things were in the unusual circumstances? If you didn't make Kiddush at night, you just didn't make Kiddush. You came home, you went to sleep. You came home at night, and you went to sleep. And now it's Shabbos morning. Now Shabbos morning, when you recite Kiddush, you're supposed to recite the Nusach, a special bracha of what you're supposed to say the night before. You're supposed to say, Asher Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Sovarat Sovanu V'Shabbat. You don't just make a Bor Pri Agafen. That's part of the unusual circumstances. There's another very rare, another unusual circumstance. If you don't have wine altogether by day, then you just make Kiddush on bread. How do you make Kiddush on bread by day? Before you wash the Tilas Yodayim, and in between the Tilas Yodayim and the Virchas Hamoitzei, you should say a pasuk. Al kein berach Hashem esem Hashem esayich hadashay usay. Savri baruch atah Hashem kein melech olam hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. So we put it in that category. The category where you have no mashke to make Kiddush on, and you did not make Kiddush at night. So then you have to say by day, the nusach, the whole bracha, what you were supposed to say the night before.
Okay. Now, Cain, you don't have to say that with Cain. That's why it's called
the middle of the bracha, the middle of the pasuk.
It's called Kiddusha Rabba. Kiddusha Rabba, this is just what Rabbi
Priya. Rabbi Agafen, right. So in order to show.
So they never use it.
So it's interesting, right? You don't have to say, because just the fact that you're making a Rabbi Priya Agafen itself is Kiddush.
Right.
But what's very interesting is that if you do not have wine, and you only have bread, then it becomes a need to show that you're it's Shabbos. If you have wine, then why have wine making a bracha? You don't do that. You don't make a Baruch Pri Agafen before you have bread. Oh, just making a Baruch Pri Agafen, that itself is the Kiddush. You don't need to say Psukim. But if you're not having wine, all you're having is bread, then there is a need to say a few psukim to show that the bread, that I'm making Kiddush on the bread. Otherwise, how would you be noticeable that you're making Kiddush?
Some they bring that down,
Then there's
Chaman Medina.
Yeah, Chaman Medina is also good. For sure.
Okay, so
for sure,
right. You can have your soda.
Soda is a shayla of Chaman Medina. Some say yes, some say not. Okay, one more last thing when we're out of time.
Coffee
is Chaman Medina. Almost everything is Chaman Medina except for milk. Milk is not Chaman Medina.
Some old soda
is Chaman Medina. Yeah, some old is Chaman Medina. Okay, last thing. In order, when it comes to eating food, in order to make a bracha kodesh, you have to eat the food within. Kibichdei achilas pras. Okay, really out of time now, so we have to go a little more. But what is called bichdei achilas pras? The Chasam Sofer says bichdei achilas pras is 9 minutes. 9 minutes. You have to eat a kezayis in order for a person to be obligated to make a brocha acharoina. Now, a brocha rishon you make even on a mashu. Anything, you take a little crumb, you must make a brocha rishon. But to make a brocha acharoina, you have to eat a kezayis. A kezayis is basically the amount of food that you can fit into a whiskey shot, 1 ounce whiskey shot, and you must eat, consume that food within achila, half a loaf of bread. How many eggs is in a loaf of bread? Either it's going to be six or eight, which would mean the amount of time it takes to eat 3 eggs or 4 eggs, which halacha lemaisa, what is the zman? So the Chassam Sofer famously wrote that, he doesn't know what it is, but he says it's not more than 9 minutes. And he has a very fascinating calculation how he knows it's 9 minutes. Basically, he says the amount of time, the Gemara talks about, I can't really deal with all the details, the amount of time it takes to go to the mikvah. How long does it take a person to get undressed, to go into the mikvah, and to come out and get dressed? Time yourself. So he says, the Gemara actually says, make a calculation, it takes half the amount of time to walk a mil. How long does it take to walk a mil?
18 minutes.
3/4 of a mile, 18 minutes. So what is half of a mil? 9 minutes. So he makes a calculation, he puts together 2-3 Gemaras together. The Gemara talks about the time it takes to go to mikvah is b'chdei achilas pras, and the amount of time it takes to go to mikvah is half the time it takes to walk a mil. So he says it cannot possibly more than, cannot be more than 9 minutes.
I heard like
three or four times. Halacha l'maaseh we pass in 4 minutes. Yeah. But the Chassam Sofer says he doesn't know what the zman is. But he says from the Gemara, it cannot be more than 9 minutes. Because the Gemara in one place says going, b'chdei achilas pras is going, getting undressed, going into the mikvah, getting out of the mikvah, and getting dressed. And the Gemara says that amount of time in another Gemara is half the time it takes to travel 1 mil. And traveling a mil is 18 minutes, so half is 9 minutes. So b'chdei achilas pras is not more than 9 minutes. Then why is that number extremely important for us? Yom Kippur. Because anyone that's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, a doctor says you may not eat on Yom Kippur, every rabbi will tell him, so what do? Buy yourself disposable whiskey cups, 1 ounce. Take any food you want and squash it into that whiskey cup. That's a kezayis. A kezayis is less than a kichoseves agasa. Kichoseves agasa is a dried, a large date. Yeah, Yom Kippur, you need inui, satisfaction. So basically, you take a kezayis. A kezayis is okay. Just eat the kezayis of food in less than 9 minutes. Since the Chassam Sofer says that achilas pras is definitely not more than 9 minutes, so eat it, consume it, and wait 9 minutes. You have to wait 9 minutes. You eat basically a little bit less than a kezayis. A whiskey cup is a little bit less than a kezayis. Eat that. You're having about a kezayis, a little bit less, and you wait 9 minutes. So now it's not mitzaref. Now that's a chumrah when it comes to Yom HaKippur, but what about when it comes to making a bracha acharoina? What's the real practical shir? So it's amazing how many different opinions there are. Halacha l'maaseh, Rav Yashiv says, pesek acharein, and he says, and everyone follows in all the books across the board, the bottom line, after all the dust settles, and Klal Yisrael is accepted, 4 minutes. 4 minutes is the zman of b'chdei achilas pras. 4 minutes. Some have a record of saying it's 6 minutes, some say 8 minutes. The bottom line is 4 minutes. What about drinking? So the Mishnah Berurah has a whole stuff. When it comes to drinking, we say the same exact rule. Is it gonna be four? You have to have a revius. Revius is 3 ounces. 3 ounces. What is the time span? So some say you have to drink the 3 ounces within 4 minutes. Have a cup of coffee and you drink less than 3 ounces. In less than 3 ounces over more than 4 minutes, you don't make it, bar in the fashas. However, some say there's a shir called b'chdei shesias revius. What is the normal time it takes you to drink a revius of liquid? So this is not in print. Rabbi Belsky, he said that he asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, You're not going to find this anywhere in Krim except for Rebelski, who wrote right before he was nifted, he wrote a true sefer. He asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, what is Vichdei Shesias Revius? And Rav Moshe told him 60 seconds. 60 seconds.
Wow.
So if you drink 3 ounces of liquid over a span of time more than 60 seconds, you don't make a bar in the fashos. 3 ounces is very little. Don't kid yourself. 3 ounces is a very small amount of liquid. Very, very small. 3 whiskey cups. 60 seconds.
Coffee, you don't drink it
right away. Right, right. So it's very hot. But when it gets a little bit warm, you may just gulp down on 3 ounces and you're not even realizing it in one shot within the span of 60 seconds. Then you have to make a bracha. No, not another bracha. You have to make a bracha no matter what. You have to make a bracha. No, a bracha rishona lasts you for a long time. It means the bracha acharoina. The bracha rishona you make only once. The question is the bracha acharoina. Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, he says it's 30 seconds. And Moshe says here, Rav Belkis says, and Moshe says 60 seconds. Some say 4 minutes. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that you can even more lenient. Say you can say 4 minutes, the same shit. All right, a year at Sashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
You're going down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I'm going down.
Okay.
All right. When you finish downstairs, I'll